Good morning. Welcome back again. Is it nice and sunny outside? It's great. It's really good. Today is a good day. My wife returns home from Zambia. Yeah, she'll be at the airport right now. Thank God. That's good. So we're continuing our series, What People Believe and Why. And actually, today is our last day. So we've been looking at things in order to prepare us for what God has in store. And we know and we realize that God has more and more in store for us individually as a church, but also a lot of churches right across this nation. We looked at week one at the Word of God, and we at Open Arms believe that the Word of God is our ultimate authority. Week two, God the Father. Above all else as a church, we believe that God is love. Week three, we looked at Jesus. We believe that Jesus is God with flesh, in the flesh. He is Christ, He is Lord, He is Savior. Week four, we looked at the cross. Jesus Christ was sacrificed on our behalf to pay for our sins that we might have freedom, that we might have eternal life. Last week, we looked at the resurrection. And again, at Open Arms, we believe that Jesus defeated death, rose from the grave, and sits at the right hand of the Father, praying, making intercession on our behalf. And today, we're looking at the church. We're looking at His church. And this is so important because we are the church. And the one thing we realize is there is no other institution and there's no other vehicle on this earth to extend the kingdom of God and reach the nation that God has planted us in or has brought us into than the local church. Sometimes I think, Lord, why don't you just send all of the angels? Why do we have to have organization? Why do we have to have structure? Why do we have to? Because I chose it this way. God chose it this way. I would think of an awful lot of people better and more qualified than I am to do it, but no, He chooses us. He chooses us for His glory. We are the church, and we are the local church. And the local church who believe in Jesus, the local church who is filled with the Spirit of God, the local church whose foundation is in the Word of God, is the hope of our community, our town, our county, and our nation. So the local church is really significant and important to each one of us. It's what I have given my life to, as what I've given the last 28 years to, is the local church. And it's good that you're here. It's good that you're part of that church. It's good that you're part of the body. And when you look around, and if you look around this morning, I usually go in the back, if anyone watches me during the second song, and I look. And I look at worship, I look at people, I look at the church in action. There is no church that's perfect, but yet we're His perfect called out ones. Because that's what the church is. We're called out of darkness. And not alone are we called out of something, but we're called out of to be. Big difference. There's been a whole part of theology and behavioral for many years across the centuries that they were the called out ones only. But that is not the word. Called out, they were called out to. They were called out to the Great Commission. They were called out to be His witnesses. They were called out to be the extension of the heart, the love, the grace, the mercy, and the hands of God. So we're called out to mission. That's what the called out ones are to do. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And next, we see in Acts 2 that His disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was thousands of people out in the street who witnessed the great move of God. And the disciples walked out onto the streets. The apostle Peter began preaching to the crowd in Acts 2:37. This is what he said. So when the people heard them, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Hey, what's going on?" No, actually said brothers, but hey, sounds better. "Hey, what's going on?" And then Peter replied in 2:38. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord God will call." And on that day, 3,000 people came to know Christ. 3,000 people were baptized. This is the beginning of the church. This was the birth of the church itself over 2,000 years ago. And we continue. We are part of that. So there have been these saints from of old. Hebrews talking about a great myriad of saints watching, witnesses. And we are part of that. And our children and our grandchildren, please God, will walk in that line and that relationship with Christ. And they too are part of that body. And right across the world right now, it's an amazing thing. Right across, whether now in Russia, in America, in the North Pole, the South Pole, everywhere in between, there are people gathered to worship Christ. There are people who are our brothers and sisters who have eternal life, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is much bigger than what we see here. It is much greater and broader than what we see here. We are part of something that's dynamic, life-changing, and eternity-changing. So to transform those who responded, right? And is the beginning of the community. And what does that look like in Acts 2:42? These were the 3,000. These were the people who just come to know Jesus and were baptized. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the church in action. And the one thing I'm very aware of as I read this and prepare this and you read through the book of Acts, some people say, but where are the miracles today? You're the miracle. You're the miracle. Can you hear that this morning? You're the miracle. What's happening in Ireland right now? What's happening regards legislation, abortion, divorce, sex changes, gay rights? Is that because people know Jesus and love Jesus? What's happening where Elizabeth and the girls are coming back from Zambia? As they visit each village, and the villages that go in and they're demonic, and the children are filthy, half-starved, eye problems. Most of the women that we visited some years ago were drunk. The men were absent who'd gone into the city. The witch doctor, so we have our own witch doctors in Ireland, we just call them different things. I was going to say some of them are in the Dáil, but that wouldn't be unfair. I won't say that. But we have our own. And what is happening is when Christianity comes to that village, we see, do you know what happens? The kids' eyes become clear. The women begin to have self-respect and honor and stop drinking. They stop going to the witch doctor. They start washing their faces and their clothes. They start growing another crop. And when the witch doctor comes and curses their crop, he has no power because they're under the name and the banner of Jesus Christ. See, some people say, well, where are the miracles? The miracles are of the changed heart. The miracles of salvation. The miracles of us who are living out our lives for God. That's where the miracles are. But some people just want to see the dead raised. And even though the dead is being raised, they still can't see the dead being raised. I've seen for 28 years, families, hearts, changed, transformed. I've not seen a lot of dead people raised from the grave, but I've seen a lot of dead people being raised. I've seen a lot of dead marriages being raised. I've seen a lot of hopelessness coming and people having hope and purpose in their lives. I see miracles because I look for miracles because I am a miracle. How about you? How about you? So as we read these, look for the miracles that's among you. Verse 42 says they devoted themselves. Devoted means what? To consecrate ourselves. To make or declare something sacred or holy, to dedicate ourselves, to give ourselves to exclusively, to be zealously loyal, have loyalty for the gospel, have loyalty to Jesus, have loyalty to God. They devoted themselves, number one, to the apostles' teaching, to hearing of the word of God. Number two, they devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, to unity and provision. Verse 44, 45 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. And then number 6, verse 47, they devoted themselves to praise and to worship. And what made this unique and allowed for everyone to come was their devotion to fellowship. The Bible says, do not forsake fellowship. Do not forsake fellowship. We help each other. We encourage each other. We challenge each other. We knock corners off each other. It's called discipleship. It's called the process. You cannot live life on your own between you and Jesus. You and Jesus are not enough. Adam and Jesus were not enough. You cannot be without a mate. I will make another one for you. I will make someone equal with you. Eve. We are called to be the body of Christ, not the single person of Christ. We are called into unity, into fellowship, to be the body. You cannot be a Christian and live on your own, because you will go like a lot of weird people. Church helps you not be weird. It's so challenging. I like being. When we started, I had a great name. I was going to call this the Jesus Worship Center. Elizabeth looks at me and said, get a grip. If I had a heart, it would have hurt me. No. But you hear him saying, we need each other. We need each other. Keep your feet on terra firma. Don't be so heavenly that you're no earthly good. Come on. Let's get and be the gospel. Be the church. Be the representative of Jesus right where we are. As my mother-in-law used to say, don't lose the run of yourself, son. Right? Keep together. So this word fellowship means, from the Greek koinonia, which is to have communion with, to have fellowship with. And more than 400 years before the birth of Jesus, one of the renowned Greek philosophers, Plato, wrote in his book in the Republic of Laws. And when he saw, and what he saw to be the ideal society, some people call him a socialist. Some people would have said communism until it failed so miserably and continues. And now they don't like that term anymore, right? But he uses the same word, koinonia. In his writings, he desired that each person would care for one another, to love and have common concern for another. He desired that the gap between the rich and the poor would be smaller rather than greater. And this is what he quotes in his book. He said this: neither had any of them anything of their own, but they regarded all that they had as common property. Nor did they claim to receive of the other citizens anything more than the necessary food. Plato was describing a community that cared for each other, that loved each other, right? And really helped one another. And for the past 2,400 years, people around the world still search for this utopian society, for the dream, as it were, in which you can belong, you can share, you can love, you can be loved, and you can be cared for. And here we read in Acts that they understood what utopia really meant. Acts 2:44, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. This is fellowship, koinonia. Community, congregation, the church were devoted to God and to one another. 3,000 people came to know Jesus in a moment, and suddenly they were sharing with one another. Suddenly they were caring for one another. Suddenly they were loving one another. Again, the question, was it because of law? Was it because it was written? Was it enforced? Was it part of the qualifications of salvation? Or was it simply because they were transformed and filled with the Spirit of God? Did transformational power really happen? They were moved by the love of Christ to share one with another. And this is so important. So, so important. Because again, we can look. We can become critical. And we can say, same old, same old, same old. Because we forget that we live in the midst of a miracle. We forget that we do love one another, that we do care for one another. But we don't have dominance over one another. We love, we respect, and we treat each other as adults. We honor. This is really important when you look at the church, when you look at church history. And there's so many different varieties of people who want to live together in the community. And then they realize you get bored and fed up with each other. Some people come along, and over the years, we've seen people who buy big houses, and they all go and live together. Hallelujah, bless the Lord, and kill each other. And then we discover maybe what it is to have a fellowship, a gathering, our Bible studies, our encouragement, speak well one to another, where we come along and we are witnesses within our own community. And maybe we're not all called to live in a building like this and have B&B and have joint food. Maybe we're called to live in our homes in the midst of people and have a job in the midst of people and send our kids to school who maybe the majority don't know Jesus. Maybe it's not about becoming this Christian clique, but maybe it's about living the life of Christ in the world that he has planted us in. Maybe that's his plan. Maybe that's his plan. And maybe that's why through church history and through the years, what God has done is, what has he done? When the church gets together so close, he throws a little grenade, he spreads them, and they're scattered throughout the known world as it was in the book of Acts, as it was in China, as it was everywhere else. That's what God does. So instead of being this little clique, we're to be salt and light living in the world. Much harder, much tougher, much harder to stay in line. Ireland, regardless of what is going on politically, regardless of what's going on morally, we are called to be the light of the world to it. And our salt will change the taste that's in this nation. Our light will bring light to the darkness that's in this nation. And the greater the darkness, the greater the light, and the more grace that is available to each of us. So these three people, they respond to the gospel. They became part of the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That we're brought, and we have been brought from this I kingdom, the kingdom of self and selfishness, the kingdom of me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity, the kingdom of darkness. And now they and us together live our lives out to extend the kingdom of God, to glorify Jesus in all that we do. And more than ever before, the kingdom of self runs rampant in this nation, but we run opposite. We run opposite to culture. We run opposite to that. Now, we've got a great opportunity next Monday. We've got a team in from the States. They're all gone to Dublin this morning. And a number of ourselves and people, we're going to school, and we're going to paint four big rooms. Right? It's in the Curragh, and hasn't seen a bit of paint for 1 or 2 years. It needs a lot of sanding and touching and love and grace. And they keep saying, why are you doing this? And so a simple time says, because we can, because we care, because we want to do something practical. And we know that your budget doesn't allow you to get a contractor in, and so we want to help you. But it's that practical step of helping someone else. It's that practical step of being light, of being salt, of doing something in a very practical way. And when we're there, do you know what we won't do? We won't preach. We won't preach. People say, will you witness to them? I really never understood that term. I don't know what it means. It's like a foreign language to me, speaking in tongues. I don't know what that means, because I am a witness. Because I am a child of God. So therefore, I don't need to do anything. I just need to be me. And being me, will we share? Will we talk? Will we tell our story? Will we love? Will we be open arms? Yes, we will. So I will not witness because I am a witness. Can you get that this morning? That is a different form of evangelism. We're not going out for 10 minutes or an hour or 2 hours and trying to snatch. No, we're going living, breathing, being salt 7 days a week, being light 7 days a week. And how we live our lives, how we speak, how we behave, how we interact, everything about us says, those people know Jesus. Those people have been with Jesus. I want to know the people that they hang out with. I want to know the one who has changed their lives and their heart and made them different. So we have become a nation of affluence, but perhaps less influence. We've become a nation where we've never seen as much wealth. We've never seen as much wealth, guys. We never have. And I know there's a context. If your mortgage is $1,000 a week, $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, will that keep going up? Dublin, $2,000, $3,000 a month? In that context, no matter what you earn is stretched and stretched and stretched. But we live in a nation that's what, fifth in the world. We live in a nation that has everything at our fingertips. And yet our young people are committing suicide. Our young people, Sean Booth was just at another one the other day, a young girl, and I'm a professional counselor, therapist all the way since 1996, but young girls now are hanging themselves. I never came across that back then. They're going out in such a violent way and such a violent means because they're hopeless. They've got no hope. But have they got money and access? Have they got Nike? Have they got all the goodies? All the toys? They've all the toys, all the goodies, everything else. But they're hopeless. They're hopeless. Because without Jesus, they will never be fulfilled. Without Jesus, there'll always be something missing in their hearts. Without Jesus, they will never be fully human. Never be fully human. And we have this hope that is within us. Jesus is the light of the world, and he casts out all darkness and all oppression. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people live or light a lamp and put it under a bowl." You don't put it under a bushel. You don't hide it under the stairs. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we have to have good deeds. There must be some fruit. James says, without works, there is no faith. But we don't get faith because of works. We don't get salvation because of works. We don't get relations and intimacy without good works. But whether Nin wants a bunch of flowers or not, she's going to get a bunch of flowers off JR. That's the reality. Come on. But he doesn't do it because she's going to have to stick and beat him. He doesn't do it because he's going to say, "You're in the dog shed." He does it because he wants to honor her and express his love to her and care for her. We do our good deeds because it's the flow of God. It's the flow of faith. It's what we do. It's just what we do. That's how we roll. See, that's what culture is. Culture, right? I've read books. I've gone to courses of seminars and everything else on culture. Culture is how we do stuff here. That's our culture. This is how we roll. This is what our culture is. So what do? We love. We do good deeds. We help. We pray. We make a difference in our lives and in those that surround our lives. We are the light. We have the light. We have the hope of humankind. We're the only group on the earth who knows the future. We know the future. We know who holds the future, and we know what he has in store for us. We are the light of the world, out of darkness to be his light, to point people towards Jesus that they may see him working in us and through us. The world is desperate for acceptance. They're desperate to stop and talk. To stop and talk. There's a lot of lonely people. I don't know, but if you're an observer of people, I am. I watch. Elizabeth, even more so. Elizabeth can go into the middle of the shopping mall, get a little bench, sit down. She's amazed by people. And if you watch really, really carefully, do you know where the most lonely, lonely, lonely place is? Is in the middle of a crowd. Christmas is one of the loneliest, depressive times for some people. Perhaps they're widowed, divorced, broken relationships, lost someone dearly. It can be a lonely, lonely place in the middle of a crowd. And that's where we come. A smile, an eye contact, a hug, a warm word, a word of encouragement. It goes so far, a long, long way. It really does. It goes a long way. We are salt. We are the light of the world. And people need to hear the message. You're not alone. We're here for you. We won't judge you. It's a safe place. And this morning, I was talking to some people last week and said, well, what happens if two gay people come into your church? We would love gay people to come in. We love them. We love them. I even love people who gossip. Okay, that's pushing. I won't push it. Because what does the Bible say about gossip? But what we have, we've tiers and levels of sin. This one is acceptable. This one is not acceptable. Oh, I like this one. Don't like that one. And we judge. I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you come from. I don't care. That's his business. My business is to love you, to share the gospel with you, to share about the love of Jesus. And he is the one who transformed you by the living Spirit of God who comes and changes from the inside, not from the outside in. It's on the inside out. That's permanent change. That's definite change, right? That will change you, your family, and the community who you're in touch with. So this is a place where color doesn't matter, gender doesn't matter, race doesn't matter, language doesn't matter, or where you've come from doesn't matter. Where the last one in is just as important as the first one through the door. It's a kingdom community built on love, acceptance, and care, completely unique in the world. Completely unique. And some people have challenged me in this room and said, but how about me? I said, yeah, but if you get rid of that stinking attitude and stinking behavior, you too can accept that. They hear the balance. It doesn't mean that you can be a Christian and love the Lord for 5 years, 10 years, and stamp on walking people. That's not acceptable behavior. That's not what this is about. If you've got a stinking, rotten attitude, you've got to get that changed. So it's not about accepting bad behavior. It's about accepting people. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's about accepting people and love and give them the opportunity of change and transformation. So what has happened for us? We all have the same song. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. We see the glory of God, the hope of God, the purposes of God. Paul puts it like this, Galatians 3:28. You were all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. That's a massive, get to know that scripture. That is a massive, massive, massive scripture. It transforms and changes everything that we're about. It really does. It changes everything. John Stott, a guy I really like, says this. The church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. The church is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's new community. Jew and Gentile, by the power of the Spirit of God, coming together, becoming one new man, one new body, his body that was designed and destined before eternity began. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part succeeds, every part celebrates with it. A church is a community where the broken can find restoration, the confused can journey into understanding, the failed can begin again, the hurting can be healed, the dysfunctional can discover God's better way, the addict can find patience and encouragement. It is the hope of the world. Come on. That's what we belong to, the body of Christ. We are his body. Right? And it's the only thing that Jesus is building. Just be, what does Jesus spend his time at? This is what he spends his time. Matthew 16, he says, this is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And this is so important for us in our country. This is so important, especially after all the elections and the stuff that you see happening on TV and read the newspapers. Some people say, Ireland is going to hell. Ireland is going to hell in a hand. No, it's not. It's not, because it has the church, and the church is rising up. And we are not small. We have God within us, so therefore we're big. One plus God is the majority. Can you hear that this morning? One plus God is the majority. There's great hope for our nation because we exist. There's great hope for our nation because Jesus died on the cross for every single one person. There is great hope. James Emery White says this. The church is the most beautiful, the most radical, the most dangerous, and the most glorious enterprise on the planet. And there is nothing more worthy of throwing our lives into the local church, being committed to the local church. So why be part of this community? Why become part of the church? That we can live out our lives glorifying Christ. That we can be his church, his body. To live at his body. To be the light of the world and to bring hope to our friends, our family, our neighbor, and our community. To give a life and be a life-giving people in the midst of darkness. That's what we need to be. A life-giving people, right? With a vision to see people experience life change. And that has to be it. Life-giving, but life change. There has to be change. There has to be fruit. You cannot have an apple tree and year after year after year, no apples. There must, at some stage, you might start with little crabs. Anyone eat a little crab? They're stinking and rotten. But what happens the next year? They're better. The next year, they're better until you have that apple that's sweet and satisfying and juicy and crunchy. That's what we need to be. We need to be producing good fruit to reach every man, woman, and child in our community and reach across the nation. And this is what I want to tell you. This is what we know, that people are hungry that just don't know it. And they know they're hungry, but they don't know what they're hungry for. They're hungry for truth. They're hungry for the gospel. They're hungry for the person of Jesus. Your neighbors and your friends, they might slag you. They might turn their nose up at you. They might think you're weird, but they want what you got. That's the most peculiar thing. They want what you got. And oftentimes, the most argumentative, oppressive people you come across are the ones who know it more than anyone else. So if you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ, if you're not part of the body of Christ, then you can be part of the church, like a fellowship. You can come along every morning. I know some people come to church and say, PJ, I haven't become a Christian yet, but I love hanging out with you. Coffee is not too bad. Tea might be better. I love the atmosphere. It's very encouraging. People say, it's a very encouraging atmosphere to come into. And everyone gives me hugs. Sure, I love it. But you're not part of the body of Christ. You don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. But when you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, he fills you with his Holy Spirit. He changes you from the inside out. And when you're changed from the inside out, then you stop judging each other. Then you realize that you're part of the problem and part of the solution, and you want to be more of the solution rather than more of the problem. And you become part of his body, of his church. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will take that hopelessness out of you and fill you with hope. He will take that guilt and that shame, and he will fill you with forgiveness and holiness and cleansing. He'll give you a new life and a new purpose. All that is available. But you must choose. Choose you this day whom you will follow. The famous guy in the Bible, old Joshua, and he says, I don't know about you, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. How about you this morning? How about you this morning? Will you choose Jesus or not? Will you continue just to come because you like The crack, the atmosphere, the fellowship. Will you make a decision that Jesus would be Lord of your life? Here's two things I'm going to hold up as a scale. Salvation is free, but the rest will cost you your life. If you come to know Jesus this morning, will you walk out of here with no problems? Actually, your problems might increase. Yeah? If you come in here this morning, you're broke, will you walk out of here rich? Well, actually, if the book had passed, you're probably going out with less than you had. But if you came in this morning without Jesus, you will leave with Jesus and the Spirit of God living and dwelling, who will transform and change your life from the inside. And eventually, it will work its way to the outside. And you can truly say, I am a disciple of Jesus. So if you want to just bow your heads, this is how we do stuff here. This is our culture. Right? This is how we roll. I want to give you the opportunity. And I want to give you the opportunity to respond, to do something. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And you say, Jesus, I want you to be the solution for my life. I want to be part of your body. I want to be part of your church. I want you to take my sin and fill me with your forgiveness. I want you to take my guilt and my shame. I want you to take it all and fill me with your love and your purpose. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because when you raise your hand, you say, God, this is me and I am serious about this. This is me. I want to be in on this today. This is me, and today I make that decision and I raise my hand. On this morning, I make a decision to become a child of God. So if that's you this morning, when I count to three, just raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand where you are. Thank you. Thank you at the back. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else this morning? Just you and Jesus. You and Jesus. Okay, just put down your hand and let's pray. Jesus, I declare your lordship over my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. Lord, please forgive me. Take my sin. Take my shame. Take my guilt. Fill me with your presence by the power of your Holy Spirit. I now accept I am a child of God. I am part of your body. I am secure. I am a child of God. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord an applause. Amen.